Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Play ball!
It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
To third base, that is a fair ball. Manny, impossible play. Oh, got it! Manny Machado.
The inside story on baseball and more.
The winning run on second. I mean, who would you want up more than Johnny Trino? It's been a magical year for Johnny as he comes into the last game with a 699 average.
All right, come on, it's getting dark.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
It's a perfect day for softball here at the stadium. 55,000 on hand for Johnny Trino. Bobblehead day here. I mean, it's a great day for the kids. All fans 16 and under will get one. And can Johnny go with a 700 batting average?
Do you ever shut the up?
On 1080 The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing the first hour, you can download that at the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com or just download the Odyssey app. Or you can turn to your smart speaker and say, yo, hit me with 1080 The Fan, and that'll do it. Coming up, we got at the bottom of the hour, we got fair or foul. And I just want to read some texts here on the fan text line, 503-250-1080. Dude, Darkins did you wrong. I thought that photo was Mike and a body double out of work due to the death of G. Gordon Liddy. Also, I just looked at your Odyssey pictures, and Mike looks like he's trying to fart while he's taking that picture, and Patrick looks like he's trying to slowly exit stage right.
I can't exit too slowly because it's going to hit you.
You can email him at will.darkins.
@odyssey.com.
@odyssey.com.
Mm-hmm. I did not know who G. Gordon Liddy was before this.
And now you're kind of like, oh, yeah. Hey, what up?
It's there. It's there. Solid mustache.
So I just want to throw out there that, yeah, you know, getting done dirty.
It happens.
Getting done dirty.
At least I mean, I'm not thrilled with my picture, but it's
at least you guys have a photo up there. They couldn't just like throw me in the corner, just like peeping out of the top right. Just
I will fight for Joe Fisher the third. I know Joe Fisher the second, and I know Joe Fisher the fourth. Solid bunch of Fishers. Solid bunch of Joes. Guess which one, Joe?
Solid bunch of numbers.
Guess which Joe is my favorite.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I am a pretty cool guy.
It's Joe Mama.
Oh, classic.
Like
I haven't heard that one 50 billion times.
Boom.
Don't be proud of that, Patrick. This does not deserve Chris Berman in the home run derby. I'm going to yell over him.
You know what? We're even. I made the Tobias comment earlier, so I'll take it.
It's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
New owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Did you see Anthony Edwards? You know, Alex Rodriguez, he's like, nah, man.
I don't know anything about baseball.
I don't think that guy cares about anything.
I think that guy.
I listen to that guy talk, and I'm like, do you care? Do you know what's going on?
Well, that was the big
concern. Do you
know
what day it is?
That was the big concern in the draft, that the guy just didn't care.
I don't think he cares about anything.
But you know what? He's really good.
He is really good. He is really good. But he was just kind of like, it's like, hey, man, do you know what's going on here? He's like, nah, man, I play ball.
You know what? I kind of respect it, though.
Sure.
If you're going to make that much money and you're going to be that calm and chill throughout your life, that's got to be the most enjoyable life ever.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows it.
I think Kevin Durant needs to take some notes.
Oh, right, right. Hey, this 19-year-old kid has kind of got your beat on this.
Yeah, he doesn't care, and you care way too much.
You have MVPs and, you know, Larry O'Brien trophies. Who cares, man?
He's just got number one overall pick deal.
Hey, and guess what? He's going to be alongside a potential other number one overall pick.
This next year.
They used to have three. Well, with him, they would have had three.
Well, wasn't Cat a number one pick, too?
Cat's a one. Wiggins is a one.
Russell is a two.
Oh, really?
I forgot he was there.
D'Angelo Russell? Yeah,
oh, that's right. He was the number two.
Yeah, number two pick for the Lakers.
And so, obviously, Wiggins is in San Francisco. And they're probably going to get Cade Cunningham at number one.
Or Jalen Suggs.
Or Mobley.
Buddy Boeheim.
No, get Mobley.
They don't need Mobley. They got Cat.
You put Mobley at the four and Cat at the five?
Well, Mobley's more of a five, isn't he?
I don't know, man. I think in the NBA, you can do whatever you want. Anthony Davis shoots threes, man. That's DJ Fishsticks over there.
That tripped me out really hard. I was like, my brain. What is happening in my brain?
Corey.
My brain.
You thrilled our fans.
Yeah. So that's how I feel. And I just reached and almost tore apart this whole stadium.
Stadium?
Shut up.
Where are we?
Shut up.
My brain.
Mike, you were talking to me about how you have disdain for umpires these days, huh?
My brain. It wasn't a disdain for umpires.
One would argue that baseball was created for us to hate umpires.
It was more of I really want there to be a better system.
Basically, Mike got screwed one game in April and because of some bad bumps, and now he's all pissed and wants to change everything.
No. Bo Bichette should have never played in the league. Dante was trash.
This was two games ago when Jameson Taillon got lit and the Yankees deserved to lose. This umpire was bad for both teams.
Sounds like a YP.
And there's a Twitter handle called Umpire Scorecards. It's called @UmpScorecards on Twitter. And every single night, they post their scorecards for the home plate umpires of those games.
Okay.
On these scorecards.
Sounds legit. You know, you want to know your percentages. It is a subjective game.
It shows the overall accuracy of the pitches called. It shows the overall consistency of the pitches called in the established strike zone, which is what the umpire established.
Okay.
It shows the missed calls of the game, if they were balls or strikes. And then it gives you the worst missed calls of the game. So in that game two nights ago, it was Eric Backes was the name of the umpire. And he was, I mean, Angel Hernandez bad. He was calling pitches in and out of the zone for strikes consistently for both teams. It was not just against the Yankees. It also shows you who the umpire favored in the game. He had a small favoring for the Blue Jays, but it was basically negligible.
Maybe he's got Vladdy Jr. on his fantasy team.
He called some bad pitches against Vladdy Jr. too. So
maybe he's got Bo Bichette on his fantasy team. Maybe he's like slow Kevin Biggio.
Boy, that guy sucks this year.
Maybe even though Springer's on the DL, maybe he's like, you know, I still should root for this team.
And Teoscar Hernandez has COVID.
I love Teoscar.
So
I like that guy a lot.
This site goes through all the umpires, right?
Okay.
And I watched that game, and that guy had an awful game. Truly bad. He was missing calls. Both teams, dugouts were yelling at him the entire time. It was really, really, really bad. His overall accuracy, 91%.
Well, that sounds like he's doing a good job, Michael.
The average is 94%, so just below average for the game.
Okay, so you had a little off day. God knows I'm having one today.
If you scroll through even just the recent ones, most umpires are in the 93 to 96 range for consistency, right?
I would like them to be in the 98, but yes, I follow.
Yes. I mean, look, they're not going to get every call right. So I was really excited to see what they were going to post for this Eric Backes guy because I thought he called a truly terrible game. And I saw 91. And I was like, that's not that bad. But watching the game, it was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking, there's got to be a better way for the MLB to score these umpires and make changes.
Well, and that's what I'm most curious about. Man, today sure is a day of me asking questions.
There should not be Joe West and Angel Hernandez in the MLB anymore, and there shouldn't have been for the last 5-6 years.
Oh, but my friend, there are. There are. So as a man of questions, which today is Question Wednesday, just dubbed it today.
about just dubbed it right now
10 seconds ago. That is the question I ask you. And I ask you out there that is listening, 503-250-1080, text in what you think. What is the solution to this? Because I'm with you, Mike. I see stuff.
Don't you say it.
What?
Robot umpires.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to wait till the other side, Michael.
Back.
But you apparently weren't willing to wait. And I want
to
ask.
Why are you trying to break on time anyway? This is 1080 the fan.
Because I am 1080 the fan. I didn't mean to say that. That didn't come out how I wanted to come out.
Please make that a drop.
That did not come out. I was thinking of like Trailer Park Boys. And they're like, Mr. Leahy, is that you or the liquor talking? And he goes, I am the liquor. That's what it made me think of.
But what were you going to say?
I don't know, but let's break so I can get out of here. Run for the hills. When we come back, I do want to know, what's the solution to this? These umpires suck. We already know. These umpires suck. So what on earth are you going to do about it?
Run for your life.
Giancarlo Lynch, you tell me, big dog. This is 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Fair foul coming up here in about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. I've given up.
You are 1080 The Fan.
Shut up. Meant there to be you.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
There All right, welcome in. We got Fair Foul coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes.
Patrick's using that as a reset live on the air after he already came back with the, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man, dude. Tony La Russa is talking to me about baseball, and I feel like it's 1995 all over again.
He does not look good. Someone check his Gatorade bottle in the dugout.
Oh, you think he's drinking?
Look at him. I would hope so.
Look at the red nose. He's got a bit of the whiskey nose.
Man, look at that guy.
At least, you remember when they tried to find stupid ways to speed up the game? They were like, managers, when you go out to the pitching mound, we need you to jog. Like, we're going to save 10 seconds. And Jim Leland looked at Major League Baseball and was like, yo, I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I'm not jogging anymore.
No, I'm not listening to this, but looking at Tony La Russa, he looks like he's about to fall asleep right now. And has almost no joy. Oh, there's a smirk. Has like, almost no joy about Carlos Rodon's no-hitter.
Late game in Chicago, man. The game started at 7, like it normally does, and got over at about
9-something.
10, like it normally does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gassed, man.
Yeah.
He's gassed.
That is, I still don't understand why they hired that man.
Poor A.J. Hinch doesn't understand it either. He's like looking around at Detroit like, God, what the hell did I do to get this?
You cheated. He doesn't deserve the White Sox.
That wouldn't be it. Well, we were talking earlier about some umpires and stuff, and Mike's got some gripes, and he feels the metrics are not good enough in terms of measuring an umpire's...
Well, at least externally.
Job, basically. You're looking at job performance here.
Yes. Internally, I don't know what they use to grade these guys, but...
She get a job here at Intercom because I've never had a performance review in my life.
Odyssey. No what? Longer Intercom.
Did I say Intercom?
You did.
Well, I am Intercom, so...
Nobody's Intercom. I don't... It's just... The fact that Joe West and Angel Hernandez are still umpires in this league... Right. Years and years and years and years and years after the amount of bad missed calls.
I mean, they show me that 80s reference of Angel Hernandez. I'm like, that guy was terrible. And you're like, he's still in the league.
Yeah. And, you know, being bigger than the game and doing all that kind of stuff. It's almost as if Major League Baseball protects the bad umpires for some reason. And look, I like umpires. I don't want robot umps. I like the human element of the game. I do. And I like the controversy it brings. But there's got to be a way to eliminate the worst of the worst and still keep the human element with guys who are just better. You know, because you'll still get bad calls. You'll still get missed calls. You'll still get ejections. But it's not going to be like this joke when you watch a game that's umped by Angel Hernandez or Joe West or Eric Backes or whoever's having the bad game below 90% accuracy. I mean, there should be serious consequences for bad games. You should be removed from the – you should be sent to minors. You should be made the fifth umpire in the game as a backup. Like, there should be real – or like a – there should be a strike list. Because if there is, then those guys haven't hit it. It's insane to me. It's insane.
Well, I guess I mean, you kind of alluded to it, but I don't know – I don't know what the – you know, what the solution is.
Well, I think the solution is
– the solution is if you punish for bad umpiring – then where does that stop? Like, you just keep going in the circle and guys get sent down, and then you've been down there long enough, so here's your punishment for 2 weeks. You have to work in AAA, AA,
well, no.
And now you come back to Major League Baseball? That doesn't mean that they fix that.
Well, it's going to be, in my mind, it would be based on improved performance. Like, if you get, if you're a major leaguer and you get sent down to AAA, you better play better or you're never going back up, right? I mean, these guys have never had to deal with the consequences of their bad calls and their bad actions. Never. If they were forced and they were like, look.
Well, Jim Joyce did.
True. But that was a massively publicized mess up on his
part. He dealt with that pretty bad. Basically retired after that.
You know, you have to be able to prove to whoever it is that's keeping score, quote unquote, that you can be better. I mean, I'm going to keep going back to the Blue Jays Yankees game, because it's the most recent one in my memory. But I mean, this Eric Backes guy, he called the same pitch that was so far off the plate a strike the entire game, despite getting yelled at from both dugouts, despite how clear, like, this was not borderline. This was in the other batter's box, and he called it the entire game. He's not even trying to get better, right? And it's like, can he not talk to his other umpires, who the second base ump who's watching it from behind the pitcher going, hey, man, you're really calling some bad pitches. Like, there's too much protection and not enough accountability.
So then let me ask you this. Me, man of questions, today on Wednesday, this is the Hot Corner. We do it every single week from 7 to 9. Find me a better alternative than robot umpires.
I think the better alternative is more accountability. I think it's just that simple.
Okay,
there are plenty of good umpires.
Right. But then guys get, you know, suspended, kicked off, whatever, and you bring in another guy. And I feel like it's a dog chasing its own tail.
Are you saying there's only so many good umpires in that would be able to do it at a high level?
I'm saying there's only such a high threshold about something that is subjective.
Well, it's not subjective.
A strike zone is subjective.
Well, at this point,
batter to batter is subjective. Aaron Judge has a different strike zone than Jose Altuve, and that's a fact.
I wish you would tell that to the umpires who call terrible strike zone.
Well, that's a fact.
But okay, sure. But generally speaking, the strike zone is not subjective, right?
So
Hold on. The edge of the plate is the edge of the strike zone.
Correct.
The edge of the plate is the edge of the strike zone.
Also,
high and low is subjective. Yep. I'll give you that. But generally, it's letters to knees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking. So the height of the batter can change, but it's letters, knees, and the width of the plate. That's the strike zone. It's that simple. Yes, it's subjective, but not really.
Yeah, but that guy bends his knees more than the other guy, and that guy's torso is shorter than his legs.
And that'll lead you to your 5% of missed calls, which will be deemed acceptable or something, right?
Right.
Like, we think 95%, that's a pretty good game. You only missed a couple of calls. Good job on you.
It's like batting 295. You're close.
God, I hate that. The inside-outside thing really bothers. It's like, that is the plate. And I know the catcher can do a good frame job, and it's like, if it's that close, if it's just on the line, because almost every broadcast has the strike zone on the screen now.
I saw a really bad strike called for Rodon tonight, and I was like, ugh.
It was terrible.
Ugly call.
And it was far inside.
Far inside. Good pitch, but not a strike.
And it's like, I can get the borderline ones, right? Like, if it's right there
on the edge.
I'm talking about in the other batter's box, consistently being called a strike. That's bad.
So prove to me why it shouldn't be a robot. If you feel so strongly that it is edge of the plate to the other edge of the plate, chest to knees. If you feel so strongly about that, Mike, and I'm being the jerk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm being the ass right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play devil's advocate because that sounds lame.
But you are.
So then tell me why. If you feel that strongly that this is straightforward and cut, clear cut, why shouldn't I have a robot?
Because I like the extra element that comes with not only just umpires, but with the catcher.
Why? It just pisses you off.
Well, if it's incredibly bad, yes.
You're just mad because they're wrong.
I'm mad because that specific umpire was terrible. Most umpires are very good, right? Most umpires are very competent at their job. It takes away the human element of that, which I enjoy, and I've talked about that at length in the past. One thing, though, that it also takes away is, especially as a former catcher, is part of your skill set. You don't have to frame anything anymore, right? Where the ball crosses, if a robot ump gets it right where it's supposed to be pictured in the, wherever the, you know, wherever the robot's capturing it, the catcher doesn't have to frame the ball anymore. And that's a huge skill.
Well, right? this just came across the text line 503-250-1080. P1 Corndog, as an umpire, I never understand why catchers do frame jobs because it never changes my calling.
But it does change the calling.
Does it?
Yes.
I don't know, Mike. You're really upset. And now, okay, I'm shifting into semi-serious mode right here, okay? You are pretty upset about the fact that umpires get the calls wrong. At times.
I'm upset.
Some
about,
are better than others.
I'm upset about the incredibly bad calls.
Yes. The incredibly bad calls. A robot would not have those.
That is true.
Why are you anti that? Give me one good reason.
I think it is a good reason, although you might not agree with it. I still prefer the human element to that being gone completely.
Then
I enjoy the manager-umpire relationship.
Sure.
I enjoy the batter-umpire relationship.
Sure. The catcher-umpire.
I think it adds so much intricacies to the sport that I love so much, in a sport that's filled with intricacies that are fun. It's another one that I very much enjoy to a certain extent. Once it reaches a point of, oh my God, this person is terrible at their job, they should not have the job anymore.
It sounds to me, just being honest, as we're about to get into fair or foul here, it sounds to me a little picky and choosy.
Mm. And you know something about being picky and choosy.
I very much know something. I live and die by that. You want them to be right, but you also want them to have free spirit. Mike, you need to have a decision with yourself. Now, I am anti-robot. I'm anti-robot ump. I'm with you. I love the human element. That is why I love baseball, is there's so much human element involved. Like, the goal line cam in NFL games, like, I'm not interested in that at all. I love the human element. But you got to decide, Mike, where that balance lies. You can't have human element and get it right. And I'm not saying you're trying to be picky and choosy in both.
Well, no.
I'm just saying you got to decide. Like, if you want the human element that gets things a little riled up, you got to take the bad with the good.
Well, no. Again,
like, I don't have an issue with umpires.
But you're making it way too black and white. There is gray here. There is a way to improve the ability of the umpires without removing them from the game completely. For whatever reason, the umpire union or Major League Baseball doesn't give a rip or doesn't do it well enough to stop the bad umpires from getting away with it. And whatever, you know, however you want to say it, I think there is a middle ground here. It doesn't need to be robots or keep it awful.
And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have to be okay with the gray area. That's what I'm saying.
I am okay with the gray area. I'm not okay with an egregiously bad umpire.
According to the data, he is not egregiously bad.
That is true.
That's all I'm saying.
91%
accuracy. 91%
accuracy,
man. That looks like my grades in middle school, baby. You know,
well, hopefully everyone's grades in middle school.
Well, no, I always got the check minus from talks too much. but you know what I mean?
Seems
but
fitting.
I don't mean for it to be black and white, and I don't want to like talk about it like it's black and white. But with things that are kind of black and white, do you want, is the black and white scenario here? Do you want umpires or do you want robots? That's really black and white. I don't want either of those. So I have to be okay with the gray area. Mm-hmm. And the gray area is, sometimes umps are bad.
Yes, sometimes they are.
Please don't be in Game 6 of the World Series. Like, that's all I'm asking.
And plus, when umps are bad, we're not going to get those epic meltdowns from managers yelling at them and
right.
Well,
tossed.
That's the human element I don't want to lose.
Who grabs the rosin bag and, like, pulls it like it's a grenade and throws it, and Army crawls themselves to, you know.
What if a robot just, whenever a manager starts arguing with it, it just self-destructs right in front of them? Like, that's what you get.
All right. Well, I'm sure this won't be the last time we chat about this, so stay tuned. We'll keep you updated on Mike's wishy-washy life on MLB umpires here. Nobody, like, why do I say these things? You guys don't respond. I'm just
because
like,
you want to go to break on time and we're late and you hate being late.
I'm like a comedian talking at a show and no one laughs.
Shut up when you want to go to break.
The text line had a good text and I was laughing at that.
Umps are bad.
Okay. All right, when we come back, it's fair or foul. There's Joe with sports.
Is it fair?
Oh my
goodness. That's a fair ball!
Or is it foul?
Well, he thought it was foul, I think.
A knowledge test for Patrick and Mike to see how well they know the big leagues.
Mathematics and strange symbols now, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. The OBP and the SLG and the ISO and the you name it.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is Fair or Foul. Real quick, 503-250-1080. John Malkovich. That guy's a good actor.
Yep. Being John Malkovich, good movie.
I'll take that, I suppose. Billy Corgan is where I draw the line, though. That guy's a jerk.
I don't know who that is.
He's the lead singer and basically orchestrator of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm.
I do like their music, though. Without further ado, I turn this over to our fantastic producer, Mr. Joseph Fisher III.
You know, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Yeah, man, but if you're a rat in a cage, it doesn't matter how much rage you have because you're stuck in a cage.
It's true.
But today is the greatest day
of
ever known.
Plus, I mean, a rat, you're either freewheeling in the sewers or you are just in a cage. There really is no in-between there.
Real quick, your favorite Smashing Pumpkins song?
I mean, I can't name. What's the one with the violins and stuff? It sounds super epic.
1979?
I'll think of it. I don't know.
I don't know them that well. So
I don't. Yeah.
I'm a big Disarm fan. I love that song. Today.
Today's like. Okay.
Today is the greatest.
I know that one.
Never mind. It's the one with the big ominous bells. Disarm is.
Oh, Disarm.
It's
yeah, man.
That's a solid.
Disarm
one.
Is dope. That's probably my favorite song.
Yeah. That's a band I never got into.
You shouldn't.
Okay. Easy decision then.
Easy. It's doing the work for you, Mike.
All right. On to fair or foul. Got a fact-based one. There is one team who we all collectively said was going to be really bad.
The Boston Red Sox.
And, we were all collectively wrong so far.
They've played, what, 10 games?
12. And as you know, the season is decided in April. So, fair or foul. Red Sox first team to win 9 straight after losing at least their first 3 games.
Do you remember when the Mariners went 13-2 to start the year and then won 55 games?
Yeah. I do.
I'm going to go ahead and say fair because that does seem pretty extraordinary for an early start to a year. Get swept by the O's and then just win 9 in a row. I'm going to say fair. It is impressive.
I give no credit to the Red Sox on this show in any way, shape, or form except for the signing of Manny Ramirez, which really turned that organization around. I'm going to say foul because I will not give them the satisfaction. However, Mike is most likely right.
It is indeed fair. Now, there was one team that did almost do it in 1991. It is your Seattle Mariners. They started the season 0-6 and then won their next 8 games, as did the 1895 Cleveland Spiders.
Damn, that Spiders team was good, too.
We were
going to go all the way, but, you know, the Union strike and
0-4, and then they won their next 8 games.
Cholera, and we had a couple black guys that were really good, but they were like, no, you can't do that.
Well, remember that, I mean, Patsy Tebow, just great overall season in that 2-hole in the lineup.
I love a good 2-hole.
Who doesn't?
If you could combine a couple of these drops today and make a porn.
Cy Young also on that team.
Doesn't have a huge load either.
There is a name on this roster that is technically a name, but it is a dicey one to say on air.
And give it a shot, Joe. Let's go.
I am not going near
Justin
there at
Fisher
all.
The third. I want to hear it, damn it.
No way in hell. I'm
you going. Want me to say something? You want me to say something bad?
In it or something?
Joe, I'm going to say something bad. Get your fingers on the dump button. I'm going to say something bad, so you have to dump. And while I say it, you have to say your word as
Please
well.
Please do not do this.
You're pretty spot on there, Mike. With
it the has ears. The N-word?
I mean, just go to the 1985 Cleveland Spiders
1895,
roster.
1895.
The 1985?
They had who on their team 20 years ago?
Say what?
Yeah, 1895 Cleveland Spiders. Just go ahead and look at their roster, and you'll know.
All right, move along.
Move along. Fair or foul? Red Sox, good.
I want you to name three starters on the Boston Red Sox right now.
Is it the guy with the question mark next to his name?
I didn't see that.
Oh.
Yeah. You found it.
I found it.
Yeah. Pitcher.
Oh.
You've got Juan Dulio, Rafael Devers.
I asked pitchers.
Oh, you wanted three pitchers on the Red Sox?
I need three pitchers on the Boston Red Sox.
You want me to do this?
I was going to say, I think you're going to make a good point here.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Okay.
There you go.
Eduardo Rodriguez. And, I can't remember his name. It's the righty who looks like Chris Sale. He pitches the exact same way. He has the super long.
I didn't even say starters. I just said pitchers.
I want to say this guy's name on the Cleveland Spiders.
No, don't do it.
Well, Barnes is the closer.
Is he the closer?
Yep.
Didn't know. Matt Barnes.
Ottavino's there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Former Yankee.
And the fact that these are the names we're saying means this team sucks.
Yes, it does.
Big time.
Martin Perez. Ew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Red Sox. For a team that spends a ton of money on stuff and has good players like a Juan Dulio and a Xander Bogaerts and a Rafael Devers, who actually scores some of the lowest in fielding percentage in baseball, FYI, most errors behind Marcus Semien, just throwing that out there. This team's trash, straight up trash.
Although I will say, Juan Dulio has come out
really good,
guns a-blazing.
Cool. In 2 weeks, he'll be on the DL.
10 day.
The guy's name we can't say was 26-14 in 1895.
That's a solid season, I
26
think.
26 and 14?
Yep.
How bad is his name if you can't say it? That guy sounds awesome.
Patrick, you just look it up.
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to coax one of you two to say it.
He's a Spiders legend. Have some respect.
All right, I'll look him up. All right.
Red Sox are good.
1895?
Fair foul, Mike.
What was the question? Sorry.
Fair or foul. Red Sox, good.
Oh, foul. I do not buy this start for them for a second. I really do think that they are the worst team in the AL East despite the early record. Although I will say that Tampa and the Blue Jays and Yankees and Orioles are all playing just as mediocre at the exact same time. So at the moment, it does not appear that way. I do not believe in this year's Boston Red Sox. And by the way, in the Dodgers game, a home run ball went into this guy's nachos and it exploded all over him.
So many nachos on his
jacket.
That
cheese was everywhere.
Are you guys talking about Cuppy over here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah. It's fine.
It is a name, I mean.
Nope. Not going there.
All right.
He was born July 3rd, 1869 in Washington Township, Ohio.
Just confirm this. Was he white?
He was.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He was definitely white.
I guess in 1895, they hadn't broke the color barrier just yet.
You know, Joe, I think you could say that and get away with it.
I think I technically could. I would.
Also, that's just his nickname.
I would have a case, but
his name
is
George Joseph Cuppy.
George Joseph Cuppy.
I'm sure there is a terrible backstory as to why has a nickname.
If that's his nickname in 1895, that is not a good sign.
Okay, moving on. Some rule change talk here, fellas.
They all suck.
Yeah.
Fair.
Well, I got one that sounds intriguing and one that does sound garbage. So the Independent Atlantic League of Professional Baseball,
former home of Ricky Henderson,
will experiment with two revolutionary rule changes in the 2021 season. One of them, limiting teams' use of the designated hitter position to when their starting pitcher is in the game. So DH will be in the lineup as long as your starting pitcher is also in the game.
So then when relievers come in, you either pinch hit for them or you hit the reliever.
Yes.
Wow.
Interesting.
And
that would change roster setups.
Lengthening the distance between home plate and the pitcher's rubber by 1 foot.
The classic.
I did.
Fair
I did
or foul,
hear
you
that.
Dig these rules or they're absolutely trash.
Well, to be honest, I kind of dig one of them and I don't the other one.
Can I guess?
Sure.
The DH rule you dig and the moving the rubber back.
No,
foot, you don't.
Flip it.
Wow.
I'd be very curious to see the effect moving it back a foot would have. You know, there's all this talk about how pitching has become so dominant and averages are going so much lower and offense is becoming, you know, worse and worse and worse. I'd be curious if even just moving it back a foot gave the hitter just that much more time to see the ball. Like it'd be like one half of a millisecond, but would it give them a chance to decipher the pitch a little better and would we get more hits out of it? I'd be curious about that. The DH one is interesting to me. And I think a side effect of it that could potentially be positive, it depends on how you view the game currently, is that it would force teams in the American League to hold less pitchers. So bullpens wouldn't be as deep, which would lead to starters being in the game for longer, which could lead to higher scoring games or whatever, because you'd have to have more pinch hitters on your team. Because right now, some AL teams only have three bench players. You know, they load their bullpen up and they have a backup catcher, a backup outfielder, a backup infielder, and that's it. So it would certainly change the roster construction. I don't know. I just don't. I like the DH. I don't think you need to remove it at all. So
I hate both of these things without a fiery shadow of doubt. I hate these things. I think the DH thing is interesting, but it follows along the lines of a little confusing in terms of trying to keep up with it. Like the three batter minimum for relief pitchers. You're like, wait, is this his second? Is this his third? Mm-hmm. If you hit a player, if you intentionally walk, does that, you know, blah, 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 blah. As far as what was the second one?
Moving the mound back.
Oh, moving the mound back.
Well, so, it's not the mound. It's just the rubber.
The rubber.
Right?
The rubber. Me, yeah.
So this whole idea of getting hitters to hit more in baseball, I'm very anti that until hitters in baseball decide to start taking hitting seriously again. Yes, pitching is better, but when you're looking at launch angles and when someone tells me that a strikeout is just as good as a single or a ground out or whatever, I don't believe that. I will never believe that. I will never, ever, ever condone that as a positive thing. So if you want to see more hitting in baseball, Giancarlo Lynch, then I think people need to take hitting more seriously because right now it's home run or bust.
It's getting a lot harder to watch.
And you should be trying to hit singles. You should be trying to advance runners. You should be sacrificing, bunting, whatever. And if you're not going to take that seriously, then why should I create rules to make it easier on you when you've already tried to make it easy?
You
and
see
that,
nacho?
My friend, is a soapbox.
You see a nacho guy here?
Yeah, that guy sucks. Right. Catch the ball, dude, and then you save your nachos.
Well, he did catch it in his nachos.
No, he didn't catch it in his nachos. That ball has zero nacho cheese on it.
There's no way that ball does not have any nacho cheese.
You catch the ball, and then your nachos are intact.
He's wiping it with a napkin, so it's off the ball.
That's a baseballism hoodie, too. That's from what it looks like. Pretty sure I've seen that before.
I think they opened up.
Oh, and they hooked him up. They were
you need
a new sweatshirt.
Yep, saw that coming.
They opened up places all around near stadiums, so I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, and on to our last one. Fair or foul? Pitchers still hitting better than the Cubs.
Fair.
Oh, I hope
so. I saw this stat today that in the Cubs lineup today, the best batting average was Javi Baez.
Oh, really?
Who was hitting 209.
So he must have just passed Chris Bryant at 206.
So I'm going to go ahead and say fair.
Boy, I'm really glad I kept Chris Bryant as a keeper. Traded for him.
Hey, he hit a home run yesterday.
Didn't play today.
Fair or foul, Patrick? Pitchers better than the Cubs.
Cubs suck, dude. Give me pitchers.
Unfortunately, the Cubs, they are batting better. The pitchers are slacking. Pitchers are batting 110.
That's because Granky got pulled early the other night.
But the Cubs are a solid 163 on the season.
To be fair, he plays in the American League. So.
That is true. It doesn't really matter. By the way, just one other final thought. The guy that we're not saying, the nickname is as bad as of a reason as you would think.
Oh, he's got a... Oh, really?
Oh, man.
The reason for the nickname is exactly what you would be worried about.
The question mark guy is a good name, too, though.
Yes, it is.
All right, that's fair or foul. We will finish this bad boy up next. This is Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
And a half hour later, it's still in your mouth. Well, this is what we do here.
I would like to highlight a text from 2 seconds ago
where
he said nothing
not?
About Lynch's take about seemed wishy-washy to me.
You just chose to read that text instead of the other ones that said you were an idiot.
Yep. I learned it from Big Sook.
I just figured it was because you're a Yankee fan that gets mad when you don't win a World Series every year.
Well, I do get mad that we don't win a World Series every year, but you know what?
So you're on a good streak right now. What's that, 12 years, Mike?
That's baseball season.
When was the last time you were in a World Series?
Was the last time we won it, 2009.
Oh, man, that's a long time ago, dude.
It's a really long time.
Even some of us have been in the last decade.
Yep.
And we suck, dude.
I think we got
no hit tonight, dude, and we've been to a World Series before you.
I think the stat was the 2010s were the first decade the Yankees didn't make a World Series appearance ever. The 2010s were the first decade that the Yankees didn't make a World Series appearance ever. I think that's what the stat was. Oh, or it was like one of two.
Well, there were some bad years in there.
In the 80s especially, but they might have made it early 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
You would know that off the top of your head better than me. But
Yankees in the 80s?
Well, just appearances, because you know the World Series really well.
Yankees in the 80s, I believe, are in the 81 World Series.
Okay. All right.
I think that resonates. That's cool. I don't know if I'm correct about that, but I do believe the Yanks are in the World Series in the 80s.
Let's see. Pennants.
They didn't win. They didn't win a World Series.
It was 81. You are correct.
Man.
Look at you.
Man.
After 81, didn't win a pennant until...
96.
Correct.
Poor Donnie Baseball.
I know.
Just no
completely,
love. Just no love for
just
the
completely
guy. Just
completely.
Yeah, one of the greatest
fun.
Yanks of all time, and they'll never remember me because I never went to a World Series.
Played in empty stadiums and on crappy teams.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
He was very good, too.
He was good. So you're telling me we went to a World Series before you did then?
What do you mean?
95.
Oh. You mean in terms of my life?
Yeah. No, I just mean like, I don't know what it is. I'm totally off topic right now, but God, I'm so into the John Wall dance these days. I'm like bringing it back. You know what I mean?
What?
You know what I mean?
This 1895 Spiders roster's got you all
dude,
mixed up
I'm
and thrown off.
I'm all into the John Wall. During college basketball, I was just like, guy hit a three, and I was like, John Wall. But that guy looks like a homeless stoner, dude. Of course I root for him.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not. I've clearly would like to erase the last 2 hours of my life.
It was a good show, dude.
I hope so.
Whoa,
I hope so.
What just happened, Joe?
That's me playing you off Oscar style. My bad. Didn't mean to do that.
I hope so. I don't know, man. I can't keep track.
It was a good show, Patrick.
This 95 Spiders team's got me all flummoxed right now.
Don't.
95 Indians team was great, though. Carlos Baegra, what up, dude? Shout out.
Don't beat yourself up.
All right, one big last love to Carlos Rodon for throwing a no-hitter tonight while on the show. We'd like to thank him for doing that. Outside of that, we'll be back next week. Make sure you download the Beers on Us podcast. That'll be out tomorrow at 4 with me and Mike. Danny the Fan, Odyssey.com, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week. For Mike Lynch, Joe Fish, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do. Well,